staggering to think that Stephen King sold his first short story, The Glass Floor, back in 1967. His first novel, Carrie, followed in 1973. The undisputed master of horror has published some 50 books since then, the latest of which is called If It Bleeds. It's a collection of four novellas. Chris Wasser has been reading it for us. He joins me now. Four tales in If It Bleeds: Mr. Harrigan's Phone, The Life of Chuck, Rat, and the title story itself, which is by far the longest. King himself, Chris, describes the book as a short novel accompanied by a trio of novellas. So how do you see it?
I have watched him describe it as that, Sean, and I tend to disagree. I kind of look at it as just, not just, but another collection of short stories. And despite the fact that If It Bleeds, which focuses on and is the first solo outing for a King fan favourite, and indeed a King favourite character, Holly Gibney, the detective from the Bill Hodges' Mr. Mercedes novels, and also who featured in The Outsider, although If It Bleeds is the longest entry in the book, it's just, it's also another short story. So this is by no means a novel. It's King's latest collection of short stories. And for me, that's a very good thing, because although he is, you know, most famous for his novels, for his doorstoppers of novels, you know, think of the likes of It, think of The Stand, some of his most famous works and some of my favorite Stephen King works have been his short stories. I mean, you mentioned there the fact that, you know, he had his first short story published all that time ago, back in the late 1960s. It's astonishing the novellas he's put out since then. Some of my favourites have been Different Seasons, which of course contained Rita Hayworth and Shawshank Redemption, which obviously was made into the very famous film The Shawshank Redemption. The Body, which was made into Stand By Me, going all the way through to 2015 and The Bazaar of Bad Dreams, which was Stephen King at his best. These short, snappy, spooky bedtime stories. And I know you kind of described them there at the top as the undisputed master of horror, but you might be surprised to learn that, you know, given despite the title of this latest collection, If It Bleeds, this is probably the sweetest and most tender writing I've ever seen from Stephen King.
Well, let's get a sample of it then. We have Stephen King himself reading the opening section of If It Bleeds.
Pineborough Township is a community not far from Pittsburgh. Although much of western Pennsylvania is farm country, Pineborough boasts a thriving downtown with just shy of 40,000 residents. As you enter the municipal city limits, you pass a gigantic bronze creation of dubious cultural merit, although the residents seem to like it. This is, according to the sign, the world's largest pine cone. There is a turnout for people who want to picnic and take pictures. Many do, some posing with their younger children on the cone scales. A small sign reads, "No children over 50 pounds on the pine cone, please." On this day, it's too cold for picnics. The Port-a-John has been taken away for the season, and the bronze creation of dubious cultural merit is decked out in blinking Christmas lights.
Stephen King there reading from his story, or is it novella, If It Bleeds, which is the title story in this quartet that Chris Wasser is reviewing for us this evening. It's classic Stephen King, really, isn't it? It kind of lays us out geographically where we are, and it all seems very normal. But if you're in a normal American town in a Stephen King story, it's going to become abnormal fairly quickly. Maybe explain the derivation or the reason for the title, If It Bleeds, because that kind of gives us a sense of where the story goes, Chris.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know I did describe earlier this as some of the sweetest and most tender writing Stephen King has ever done, but for If It Bleeds, If It Bleeds is probably one of the most far out stories in this collection, and it centers on Holly Gibney, who, as I said before, has been a favorite of the more recent hard-boiled detective stuff that Stephen King has been working on. I mean, it's crazy that after 40, 45 years of writing, Stephen King, you know, hadn't, you know, dipped his toes in this subgenre before, but has also decided to make a new name for himself as a crime writer. And If It Bleeds features Holly, who in the Mr. Mercedes books and in The Outsider, which was recently turned into an acclaimed HBO series, she is a detective she's a private investigator who has worked under and worked with Bill Hodges from the Mr. Mercedes books. And I suppose I don't want to spoil anything for readers, but let's just say that if you've read The Outsider and if you enjoyed The Outsider, this is very much a standalone sequel, or even a spiritual sequel, in that it's taking some of the weirder, let's say, elements from the final act of that novel and kind of pushing forward with it to see what else is out there. So Holly Gibney runs the Finders Keepers private investigators company. You know, they're kind of working on cases of when we first check in with Holly of missing dogs and the like. And all of a sudden, she is distracted. This super intelligent, yes, slightly obsessive detective that is Holly, she's distracted by a news report of a bomb having gone off near Pittsburgh. And that was King at the top there setting the scene for this tragedy. Right. And one of the first people on the scene of this tragedy is a news reporter. And without giving anything away, Holly just becomes obsessed with this 24-hour report, and specifically with the reporter, wondering, as everyone else does, how did he get there so quickly?
And are there supernatural elements involved, I suppose, is part of the question that we ultimately ask, even though you say he's not the master of horror, but supernatural, I think, is probably reasonable enough to talk about. And it's certainly important to talk about in terms of Mr. Harrigan's phone, which starts off simply enough. 9-year-old boy gets a lottery ticket from his neighbour and wins lots of money.
He does, yeah. And much like If It Bleeds, we have a fairly grounded story, fairly grounded characters, relatable, likable. You know, it's a joy to see Stephen King just write about normal, regular life without any, you know, spectral figures or supernatural monsters. But eventually, you know, they do kind of creep their way in. And Mr. Harrigan's phone, you know, this young boy, Craig, he's from Harlow, Maine. He's from Maine. Where else? This is Stephen King. And he develops this lovely friendship with this billionaire business type, who has settled down in this small town of 600 people to basically live out the rest of his days. And he reads to him in the afternoons, he waters his plants, he buys him a new iPhone after he wins money on a lottery ticket that was bought by him, by the old man for his birthday. And he teaches the old man, who says he knows everything about the world and about business, how to use this phone. And the old man, Mr. Harrigan, he loves the phone so much so that when he dies and young Craig is devastated, Craig is adamant that this old man is going to die with that phone in his pocket. And Craig soon learns that his correspondence and his bond with Mr. Harrigan goes beyond the grave.
Yeah, and again, classic Stephen King territory in some ways. And we're hardly surprising that in another of the stories we have a writer trying to finish his debut novel. That's a classic Stephen King setup as well. And also he ends up getting a virus when he shakes hands with the shopkeeper and has to go into self-isolation. But I want to finish up with the final story in the book, because I think this was the one that kind of sold the overall book to you. Would I be right in thinking this, The Life of Chuck?
Absolutely, because, you know, If It Bleeds, Holly Gibney, we've kind of been there. The story of a writer trying to write his novel, and also with, you know, the spread of flu, you know, Stephen King famously predicting or prophesizing like some sort of devastating pandemic, as we saw on The Stand. We've been there before. We've even been to, you know, see something like Mr. Harrigan's or read something like Mr. Harrigan's phone. But for The Life of Chuck, this broke me. And I mean that in the best way possible. And it is astonishing that after 40 years, I found myself reading twice, as it were, a story unlike anything else he had ever written. And I was intrigued as well by the description, and also in the author's note that Stephen King was, you know, just intrigued himself by this idea that in each of us contains the whole world, contains the whole universe. And he thought of this regular guy, this, you know, this accountant, this 39-year-old accountant named Chuck Krantz, and all the things that might have happened in this guy's life up until his death. He was going to tell this guy's life, this fictional character's life story backwards, like a film in reverse order. So when you read the first, which is essentially the final chapter, and it's just three lengthy chapters, you don't really know what's going on. You know, you get the sense that someone is on their deathbed, and then in the second chapter, this guy who you've just read about dying is stopping in the middle of a busy street to dance along to a busker. And in the third chapter, then we kind of go back to his childhood and how he's heard stories that the home he's growing up in is haunted, and nothing really that out. You know, but there is a bit of a supernatural kick towards the end of the story, but nothing really out of the ordinary happens. Instead, it just gets you. It's Stephen King writes so eloquently about this beautiful character, about this beautiful life, and he makes you think of what it's like to have been Stephen King and to have devoted your entire life to creating an entire world.
Briefly then, and finally, Chris, clearly you love that final story. If you had your time back, would you skip the first three and just read the third one, the final one, the fourth one? Would that be your advice to readers?
I think if you if you go out and buy this book just for that story, it's well worth it. But I think Mr. Harrigan's Phone runs a close second. As I said, there are some freaky things going on. It's nice to see Holly Gibney again, but it is nice to see that he has developed something of a tendency in his writing all these years later.
All right, Chris Wasser there talking to me about If It Bleeds by Stephen King, which is published by Hodder and Stoughton.